scriptures for you this morning. God speaking here to his people, and he said, I'll bring you to a land that I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. Well, he's talking about the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, the land where you can enjoy life and you can have every need met. That sounds like a good place, does it? Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 30, New Living Translation, God's way is perfect. All of God's promises prove true. He's a shield. How many people know he is a shield? He'll cover you. He'll protect you. If you stay with him, he'll protect you. He'll protect you from sickness, from famine. He said, even in famine, you'll have plenty. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. He said, people are falling dead everywhere, but not you. You are going to live long. God promises a long life. If they put funny stuff in pablum, you'll still be alive. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You'll live long. Amen. And strong. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you and just to encourage you this morning. The point of my message is this, that God always keeps his promises. We see that he made a covenant with Israel through Abraham and right down to the children of Israel, and every leader and every person he talked about, he always asked them, you know, remind them of the promises that he made. He promises, he made his covenant through Abraham and through the children of Israel, and his word was announced through the prophets and the apostles and Jesus himself. That's a lot of people. And his way is perfect. And then he keeps all his promises. All his promises are true. I told you on Wednesday, the man by the name of Joshua, he's the brand new generation that came out of, the bush and all of the wilderness. And God said to him, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I promised this to your ancestors. And I'm going to promise to take you to the promised land, and you're going to have this, you're going to have that. And at the end of his life, we see this in chapter 23, 24, that he said in there, that every one of God's promises came true. Not one of them failed. He's not just telling that to Joshua in that generation, but he's telling everybody who comes under the lineage of Abraham. And all the Bible is about the promises of God. It's all the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about the covenant, the blessing of God, and what God has in store for you. All right on through. Hallelujah. If you've ever read the Bible, you'll see that. I've read it a lot of times. Studied it. Not just read it, but study it. Hallelujah. I found out he's true. Thank you, Jesus. Well, God always keeps his promises. He keeps his promises, the Bible says, to 1,000 generations. Well, you know, you're not going to be here 1,000 years in this world anyway, but you'll live forever on the other side. You want to go to the other side? I'll pray for you. You can go quickly. No? He will never break his promise. Every one of them he's made to us, he's a covenant-keeping God. He promised Abraham two things. Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 17. If you read those chapters, you'll find there, number one, he promised a land. A land of milk and honey, a land of plenty, a land of enjoyment. He promised their own land because they didn't have, they were dispossessed people or didn't have anything, didn't have any inheritance. God says, I'm going to give you a land and bring you to a place called Canaan land. The land of milk and honey. But there's some giants around there you got to get rid of. And he's promised that I'll be with you, those giants, and you'll take care of those giants through me, with my power. And I believe there's some giants in your land trying to stop you from going on with God. But you're going to conquer them, amen? In fact, you've already done that, ready. You should go ahead and disobey God. Not disobey God, just obey God. It's my language. It's my Ojibwe tendencies. You know, my tongue doesn't work right. Goes, you know, in a proper way, but I'm learning. Amen. Don't laugh at me. All the Ojibwe's laugh right away. Yeah. Well, I tell you. Secondly, he promised a son. He promised this son to be his heir, through which many descendants would come. Innumerable people would come. Over in 15 chapters, you look at the stars and count them. Let's see if you could count them. That's how many descendants you'll have. That's how many people will come from you, from this son. And he's done it. You can't count everybody in this world. There's so many of them. China alone, you couldn't count. I guess the Chinese people are the most populated people in the world. Pastor Ken sent me a picture last night. It was a picture about, I think it was one of those cities in Japan. Osaka, what was it called? Tokyo? It's like, how many millions of people? Billions? 37 million people there. No wonder that place is falling apart. There's too many people. It's too heavy in one area, right? So, praise God. Lucky they're small. But, you know, God promises lots of, he promises a lot of stuff. So anyway, he promised a son to be his heir, and through him innumerable descendants would come, and even kings would come through that one son. And so we have to expect God to fulfill every promise that he's given us. Okay? We see in Genesis, even though Abraham and Sarah, his name was Abram first, until God changed his name over in chapter 17. And his wife, his name is Sarai before it was Sarah. And they were old. I like saying that, old. They were old and barren. Or at least she was barren. He was old then. He was an old man. But God fulfilled that promise even though he's old. You know, God can fulfill promises in your life that is past stages of beyond natural, you know, things, you know, to come in order. People say, well, we believe God because this is happening. You know, when there's no hope at all, God shows up. And this is not just a saying, but God will show up in areas when you see no hope at all in your life. And so, he does wonderful things when we follow him and obey him. God wants us to enjoy everything he promised in his word. God specifically promised Abraham certain things, but we, as descendants of Abraham, we can claim those same promises. His word is his will or his promise. As children of God, we can expect to enjoy what the Lord has promised. We can expect him to fulfill every promise. But the problem is, most people don't know the promises. They don't know the word. There are specified promises, but there's general promises for everyone that we could believe for. Let's go over here to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. I'm reading the New Living Translation. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country. I didn't know he was Ojibwe until I read this. I know he's First Nation, Aboriginal. But he said, the Lord says, Abraham or Abram, leave your native country and your relatives. That's a good message here for some people. You need to leave your relatives. And your father's family. You're still 36 years old, living in the basement still. It's time to move out. Go to a land that I will show you. He said, I'm going to show you. He says, I want you to go first, and then I'll show you. A lot of people, they want God to show them first, and then they'll go. But faith says, come. Verse 2 says, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make you famous. and you'll be a blessing to others. Verse 3, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you with contempt. You see that all the way through the Bible? If anybody touches you, they're going to have to deal with me. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Are you part of this earth? You're part of this family, right? So everybody here who belongs to that Abrahamic, you know, faith line, this belongs to you. And everything he promised Abraham. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old. It's not too late. Everybody say, keep your word. Keep your word. So, you know, God, we should expect God to keep his word, but you need to keep your word. Right? I don't know. He says, people make promises that they can't fulfill. There's people make promises every day. They can't fulfill it. They make promises anyway. I'll do this. I'll give you that. I'll help you here. I'll do this. And they make all kinds of promises without even thinking. They don't realize their word is their word. And Brother Hagin used to say, your word, you're as good as your word. That's what he says. And he says, but, you know, sometimes people can make fulfill their promises, but God will keep all of his promises, no matter what comes. God makes a promise. When he does, he always fulfills it. Even when it's inconvenient, sometimes, or when it's inconvenient, we humans can break a promise because we're unable to keep it because we're limited in nature, in our abilities. People make promises they cannot fulfill because maybe they get sick, maybe they don't have the money, they don't have the means to fulfill something. And so they have to go back on their word, and they feel bad. But God doesn't ever feel bad. He always keeps his word. Yeah? So when we're able as people, we must keep our promises, even though it'll hurt you, even though it'll cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you something if you make a promise. God expects you to fulfill your promise. Here's what he said in Psalm chapter 15, verse 4. I'm reading the NCE, New Century Version. They do not respect hateful people, but honor those who honor the Lord. They keep their promises to their neighbors, even when it hurts. Sometimes you make promises that's going to cost you something. I'm not talking about this in particular this morning, but this is part of what we're saying. And the reason why people don't believe God is they don't keep their own promise. Right. It's harder for you to go to trust God you can't see when you can't keep your own. Right. I heard that one time from a great man of God. You know, so we need to see that because we think God's like us, that he changes his mind. He never changed his mind. You know, in fact, I thought God forgot about me. The devil told me, and I believed it. And I wandered around for a long time until I come back to God. I was in a backslidden state. I came back to God, and God completely restored me. I didn't feel left out anymore. Gave me back more than I ever imagined, beyond my expectation in the natural. I look back at my life now and say, man, I live a real good life. God blessed me with so much, more than I ever dreamed of. All I wanted to do when I was out there is that if I can just go to church, maybe I could clean the steps or something. I can just shake a few hands. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. That's all I believed I could do. And, you know, you this way you feel sometimes. That's how I felt for many years. My self-esteem wasn't up to where it should be. Sometimes now I have to pull myself down. You know? So we have to keep our promise even when it hurts us. And it says over here, Ecclesiastes 5:4, when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. So just don't make a promise to God and say, you know, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. I had a man from, you know, he says to me, and he kept his promise. He said, you know, he says, come pray for me. He's racked up in bed. He's totally, laid out in bed. I don't know what's that word for that, but he's in, kind of almost an invalid. He can't move. He's got so much arthritis in his body. He can't move. He's in so much pain. So he said to me, if God, if you come lay your hands on me, and if God heals me, I'm going to come and help you. I'll give you one ear. So I went over to his house. I laid hands upon him. God healed him, and he come work for me for one ear. He came to, you know, to when he says for you, it meant the church, right? So he come and he worked. And as soon as that one ear was gone, he's gone. But then it came back on him. After many years, it came back on him, and now he's dead. I've had people come to me and say, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to do this to me. And those people, they're not around anymore. God says, whoever comes against you, I'm going to protect you. And I remember one time my pastor told that person, you know, I was standing there, sitting there with a bunch of people. They had a meeting against me. They were going to take me out of ministry and report me to the authorities. And they said all kinds of stuff. And this one person got up and prophesied to me, this is what God said he's going to do to you. He's going to do this and do that and do that. And Pastor Rick says, listen, if that's from the Lord, fine. But if it's not from the Lord, you'd better take that back because everything you said to him will come upon you. And that person said, okay, I'll take it back. I'm telling you something. You know, God doesn't mess around. I've had people come to tell me different things. I had some minister once says to me, you'll never do any good in this town. And, it's sometimes from his own people. You know, there's some people who are not right in their mind. They say different things, and they don't know we're on the same team. Right? But God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, New Living says, understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is faithful. He's a faithful God. The faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commandments. That's a great promise. Copeland always says, trust the love. Trust that God loves you. If you can trust God loves you, you know he's going to always do you good. You know he's always going to take care of you. Trust in the love of God. God will keep his word. He's faithful. He never breaks one promise. To every generation that he said that to, he always kept his promise. Faithful people are like God. They keep their word. They keep their promise. A faithful person is steadfast. It's always remained the same. No matter what happens, they keep their promise. They don't falter. They don't give up. It's, oh, you know what? They, listen, you know, I promise to give you this money. Now I don't have that much money, but I promise to give you. You know, they don't come back. But God is faithful. So what is a promise? A promise is a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. A legally binding declaration that gives a person to whom it's made a right to expect or claim the performance or forbearance of a specified act. It's a reason to expect something. When God says something, you have reasonable grounds to expect God to do it. In any relationship, if I tell my wife something, she has reasonable grounds that I'm going to fulfill it. If I say I'm going to get rid of those dogs, I say I'm going to get rid of those dogs. No, it has to be mutual, right? We lost cats before. We don't know who took them. I think the Lord did. Another word that would go the same as what a promise is, an oath. When you make an oath, it's a promise. A pledge is a promise. I remember my dad, you know, he wants to quit drinking. He'd go to the priest. He said, I'm going to make a pledge. But he broke it next weekend. And we're so happy. Oh, mom and dad going to the priest tomorrow, and they're going to make a pledge, and the priest can bless them, and they're going to keep the promise. They'll never drink again. How did that go, Rama? It's a pledge to do something or to provide something. God says he's going to provide something, he'll provide something. Another word would be a vow. A promise is also your word. A promise is your word. A promise from God is his word. His word is his promise. Can you say amen? It's also a covenant. A promise is a covenant. As we mentioned, a pledge. It also is when you swear. Not when you cuss. I mean, when you stand and say, "I swear," you know. And you make a vow. So Israel, the people of Israel, imagine God used Israel as an example for the whole world to show that God is God. God picked Abraham. God went to Abraham. And out of Abraham came a nation called Israel. And through Israel, there was a promised Savior. His name is Jesus. And he was given to the whole world. And everyone who believed in Jesus gets all the promises that God promised to the nation of Israel and to Abraham. And whatever God told Abraham belongs to you and me. That's what the Bible is all about. From Genesis to Revelation, it's about the promise of God. Hallelujah. You know, we need to wake up. I just woke up yesterday. I said, "Man, what happened? How come I didn't see all this? It seems so new to me. More than ever." And I've been praying that this church, that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know the hope of their calling, and what is the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought or demonstrated in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that can be named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And he raises up together, made us sit together in heavenly places of Christ Jesus. Amen? And that he would fill each one with might by his power and the inner man, that Christ may dwell in each heart by faith, that you may know the love of God which passes knowledge. I pray that all the time. That you would know the love of God. That God cares for you, that I care for you. That God cared for you so much he sent somebody like me to be here no matter what. Whether I was being paid enough money or I had enough help or insufficient help, God sent me here. He told me to stay here. Because I know all the blessings are going to be in this side of the world. On the other side, I'll be far ahead of Benny Hinn. Or Copeland. They didn't freeze up here. I freeze my behind up here. That's why there's nothing left behind there. Praise God. That's why he moves out that Benny Hinn. So what happened to Israel is meant to be our example. What God will do for us, he'll do the same what he did for Israel, he'll do for you and me under this new covenant. Romans 15:4 says this. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope. Do you find hope in the scriptures? That's why we sing songs that are scripture songs. We don't want to just sing songs like, "Going up the hill and around the corner, up the hill, we're having a great time." No, we sing about the covenant. You know, some songs are just songs. But there are some songs that have revelation in it. Right? You know, there's some songs that they're not worship and they're not praise. They're just songs, right? And encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled, whether it's the promises of the afterlife later on or promises right here. God gives you hope. When he says something, it's enough to keep you going to stand until the manifestation comes. We can't take a lesson what's been recorded from their experiences and history, and we can have hope for our own future as we wait for the manifestation of the promises that he's given to us. God always fulfills what he promises. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the New Living Translation says, these things happen to them, talking about Israel, as examples for us. In other words, when you read anything about Jacob, Abraham, or any one of the prophets, that's an example for you. What he did for Elijah, he'll do for you. Amen. I tell you, you know, you better give another offering this morning. You're getting more than enough. Amen? I'm going to write another offering right here. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of this age. You know, of course, there's warnings there too. It tells you, you know, this would happen to them, this would happen to them. You know, they disobeyed God, they died in the desert, blah, blah, blah. You know, the snakes bit them and they died, whatever. And they committed fornication, they died, and so on. All that's in there. But God wants us to be cautious and follow him. It's either a good example sometimes it's a bad example. We can learn from somebody else. We take Israel's examples and make it our personal lesson. We ought to learn from them. That's why it's written down, so that we could apply them. We apply this knowledge to our own lives. God blessed Abraham with an everlasting promise in the covenants that he made with him. It can never be broken. Jesus himself sealed the deal when he bought us out from under the curse. Galatians 3:7 says, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. He said the children of Abraham are not just natural descendants, but those who put their faith in Abraham. Now Abraham, he's just a regular person. God appeared to him, and God gave him promise. And later on, the Israelites came out of that. But Abraham, this Abraham put his trust in God. He put faith in God. This was ever before anything ever happened. So here, in 3:29, it says, if you belong to Christ, then you are now Abraham's child and a true heir of all his blessings because of the promises God made to Abraham. I mean, that should you should jump out of your chair and run home right now. I mean, that's a good promise, right? I mean, if it doesn't get you excited, check your pulse. I mean, you got to, I mean, this is absolutely wonderful. You know, everything he promised him. He said, I'm going to make you rich. You don't have any money. You're flat broke. That should make you happy. Right? And you feel, you know, you're sick, maybe just struggling away from year to year. God says that healing belongs to you. So that's the promise he made over there. God is he's a rescuer. He rescued Israel from Egyptian captivity. Through Moses, they came to the Red Sea and on into the wilderness and into the promised land. But they had to fight for their rights to get that place. If you're not willing to fight by faith, you'll not get too much. If you're passive in life, it'll just pass by you. You say, oh, yeah, what do you want? I don't know. You know, when you go to, if you sit down with me for something, when I got the church credit card, we go to the, I said, take you for a meal. I got the Faith City Church or Spirit of Life credit card. I want to bless you through Spirit of Life. You sit down, have a meal. What do you want to have? I'll just have some, some fries. We're at a steakhouse. just don't go ahead and ask. Pastor Ken learned that. That's why he's 210 pounds now. I had to shove one in there, Pastor Ken. So like the Israelites, God wants to take us to our promised land. First, he redeemed them or bought them or paid for them from Pharaoh. And he bought us out of control of Satan. Just like God, bought Israel out of Egyptian captivity, out of Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh, Egypt is a type of the world under the kingdom of darkness, and Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Israel is a type of you and me, how God came to rescue you. And the Red Sea is like the blood of Jesus. You have to go in there, and you have to come out on the other side. That's how it works. And the Holy Ghost, the water is like the Holy Ghost, and you get filled with the Spirit. It's all in there. Start reading and studying the Bible. You find all this is all in there. It's all in there. That's what Pastor Hagin tells us. It's in there. It's in there. That means, go and read it for yourself. That's what it means. Today, by faith in Jesus, we are children of Abraham. We're heirs. There's stuff that belongs. If you're an heir, there's something belongs to us. Right? I'm thinking about what I'm going to leave behind. You ever think about that? How many of you are over at least 50? What are you going to leave? I don't know. I was reading something the other day. I found, how many remember Tony Curtis? Anybody remember an actor by the name of Tony Curtis? Well, that's an old actor. I mean, there's a lady by the name of Jamie Lee, and that was her dad. He had a lot of money, and he made a lot of movies, and he had all kinds of accolades and Golden Globes and whatever they made, and he had property. And he didn't leave anything to his kids. That's what I'm going to be. So what did he leave you? There's nothing here. There's a song that I think it's in the 60s. I can't remember the. He said, "All Papa left me was alone." You remember that? How many people heard that song? Yeah? Papa was a rolling stone. Remember that? Wherever he laid his hat was his home. When he died, all he left me was alone, alone, alone. Well, there's a double meaning there, right? I mean, left him alone, but he also left him alone. He had to pay that loan. Right? No, I'm gonna leave a lot. It says in there that I'm gonna leave an inheritance to my children's children. That's what it says. I'm believing for it. So thank God. I was just wondering the other day. I had these birds kept attacking me for 2-3 years now. I was asking the Lord, why are these guys attacking? I never did anything to them. This is a big bird with a big red head. He keeps knocking, and then his wife comes too. And they keep knocking on my window. Bum, 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 bum. It's like they're just like jackhammering my house. I'm trying to, sleep on Saturday, and then bang, 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 go out there, and he's out there. He takes off. He laughs at me. So I take, something to throw stuff. And I got these guys to come help me last time. They put a big hole in there, I stuck my head in there. There's a hole. They're having a party inside my house. They take a big hole like that. They say if they dig a wrong hole, that means they want to go and make a house in there. But if it's a different kind of, there's different ways you can figure out. So I studied all about these birds. So if you got any questions, I have answers for you. But I asked the Lord, why are you attacking me? He said, you'll rebuke the devourer for my sake. So I said, I claim all that money back. And money started coming in. So just a little part that we have to fix, it's going to cost me $5,000. We're going to have a GoFundMe club. But, and I started getting some money. Some people give me some money. And I realized that God was giving me money to fix that. So far, there's a few bucks in there. Okay. What if God tells me to give it away? Well, he could, I guess. But I'm planning to keep it, fix the house. Exodus chapter 1, verse 11 and 14. That's just a little bit of break for you. It says in there, so the Egyptians, Exodus 1, 11 to 14, so the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramses as supply centers for the king. Verse 12. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and more alarmed the Egyptians became. Verse 13 says, so the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. That sounds like the devil to me. Verse 14. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and to make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. You know, that devil, he will just drive you. If you don't have Jesus, he'll keep pounding you and pounding you and pounding you until you say, what's the use? Let's go ahead and join the game, you know? But God remembered the promises, and here's where they were. God remembered the promises. Look at Psalm 105, verse 8, the King James says, he had remembered his covenant forever. Now, does he have promises made? Yeah, he remembers. Will the devil come? Yes, he'll come. But God remembers his promises, and we have to remember to ask him. He remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. New Century says he will keep his agreement forever, and he will keep his promises always. So, let's go read down to chapter 2, Exodus 2 and 23, 25. Years passed. This is after, you know, they're on, still under that slavery. Years passed, the king of Egypt died. But the Israelites continued to groan. See, I told you, that's my tongue twister. Where were you? Okay, so they groan under the burden of slavery. They cry out for help, and their cry rose up to God. God heard their groanings, and he remembered his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here's something I remember here in verse 24. The Bible says, in one sense, he says that the Holy Spirit comes to our aid as well with groanings. The Bible says the Holy Spirit prays for us on the inside with groanings, to utter words with inarticulate speech that you cannot understand, nobody can understand, that and prays in tongues. When you pray in tongues, he prays, Romans 8:26 says, the perfect will of God through the Holy Spirit, by your Spirit. Things that you would never think about asking God when you're praying in tongues, the Spirit of God will take your spirit and go up to God and pray. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's also there to make intercession for you. With groanings. God remembers. And when you're groaning in the spirit, he's saying, Lord, God, remember, Father, what you did to Abraham, for this, he's part of that. And you're pleading to God. You don't know what you're praying about, but God's using that, and he's praying for you. I read about a story the other day about someone who was, just evangelical, and all of a sudden now, after many, many years in ministry, I don't know how many decades, now they're praying in tongues every day. begin to see it. I had a man said to me, you know, whenever I would go through stressful situations in my life, I would all of a sudden start praying in this language I didn't understand. And he didn't know that he was praying in the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, when you pray in tongues, you're in the Spirit. You're praying in the Spirit. And Brother Hagin used to say, the best way to get in the Spirit when you want to get you know, something from God, is start praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. That's praying in the Spirit. God will get over to your spirit what you need to know for that hour. I was praying in the Spirit for when I was in Tulsa, walking around. The Lord said to me, pray every day in the Spirit. And because I knew when I went to Tulsa, God told me to go to Tulsa, sit under Brother Hagin. He said, that same Spirit I'm going to put on you, which is the Spirit of faith. And I started praying in the Holy Ghost. And out of my spirit, I came. The interpretation came. When you go back home, you're going to start a brand new again. You're going to start a new church. It's going to be called Faith City Church. That came right out of my spirit. And, you know, we need to interpret. The Bible says he that prays in tongues should interpret. Believe God for interpretation. And so this man who was in ministry for decades, he went to, when he was young, a young kid, he went to a place and he asked for the Holy Ghost. And he said at that time he never got anything. He just went up and, in fact, he didn't really have any really strong desire for God. He just said, I'm going to go and try that. He never had any manifestation until he was in his 60s and 70s. God fulfills his promises. Amen. Even when you don't, you know, you're kind of half-heartedly, he'll fulfill things. Are you tired? You should go to Kenneth Copeland meeting. They have like 3 hours. You sit there for 3 hours. You know, I sometimes when we go to camp meeting, it's not like a holiday. You go to meetings all day long. Then you stagger to your room. Well, it's nice to get away, right? So they cried out for help there. God remembered the groaning, verse 24. And he remembered his promise to Abraham. He looked down to the people of Israel, and he knew it was time to act. Why? Because they're groaning. They're praying. They're asking God to help. And God says, now it's time to act. They were just away from me, just doing their own thing. Now they want me to come. I'm coming. He remembered his covenant. Over in Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, New Living, the Bible says about Abraham, because back there, you know, he says that I remember the covenant I made with Abraham, so I'm going to come down and help these Israelites. Over in the fourth chapter of Romans, in the New Covenant, the Bible says, verse 20, 21, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. You know, you can't waver. Waver means doubt God. Waver means, you know, today I believe, 1 minute you believe, next day you're not believing. Right? That's what it says. And, you know, James chapter 1 says a man who doesn't believe God, he's wavering in and out. One day he's in, one day he's out. You understand this? You know, even when you have thoughts of doubt, continue to believe God. Just continue, because faith, I understand this, I learned this now, faith will still work even with doubt in your head. Because faith is a heart thing. It has nothing to do with what you're thinking in that sense, you know, if it's against God. You have to pull down those thoughts and say, I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. Amen. Talk to yourself. That's called meditation. Talk to yourself. I talk to myself. I say, Roma, you don't believe that. Here's what you believe. You believe what they taught from the Bible because it comes from the Bible. You believe this. This is what I believe. And I say out loud to myself and to the devil, and if there might be devils around, I say, here's what I believe. I believe I have authority over you. I believe you have no power over me. And yet he's like, looks like he's got power over me. But I said, no, I believe I have power. And I always say this, I have needs for... all my needs are met. Amen. I don't worry about a thing about anything. And I believe that spirit life has everything, you know, more than enough. I believe that faith teachers has more than enough. But we sow seed too. You know, we give up. We look for who we can give. We plant seeds, you know. So, you know, I was thinking the other day how faithful God is. You know, some pastor that we graduated with or in the same school, he's over in Colorado, he bought a place for $1.6 million, and I think they paid it off now. But now they're selling, I believe, or he bought a property for $1.6 or something. Now they're selling it. It's over almost $6 million for that property. I was thinking about we bought this for $500,000, $600,000. Plus, we had to renovate and put another $500,000 in here. And the last couple years back, I'm not sure, maybe we can check this again, you guys. When I checked it, I talked to different ones. I talked to, you know, I think it was $2.something million, $2.something. I can't remember what it was for this property. And we owed so much money. I think now we owe, after all that spending, we owe, I think, $180,000 for this property. $180,000. Somebody can write that check right now. And we're going to build that building out there that we talked about. A big auditorium. It's going to be a 1,000-seat auditorium. And, you know, people ask us, can we come and, you know, bring AC/DC out here? No. We bring have a Christian concert. I mean, we could do all kinds of stuff. They asked us many times to come here to do something. We can cram jam 400 people in here. That's what the marshal says, but we only could put 300 seats. I think everything, you know, we're going to do this. He said, you? Yeah, God's on our side. Amen. Like, you know, you say something, like, that's why I don't like to say a lot of things, because people don't believe. They say all kinds of stuff. I don't, you know, want to say things a lot of times, because it scares people. Because you don't believe God. You tell the ones that believe with you. Right? Don't tell everybody. Don't be like Joseph. He told his brothers too early. Right? I had laughed last night reading about Joseph's story, you know. They sold their brother, right, to the Ishmaelites. And they got into a lot of trouble. But anyway, God used his bad things that happened to him and turned it for good. And a lot of you, that no matter what happened in your life, God's going to turn it for good. Amen. Yeah, you might start small. You know, just think about it. I went home last week for my brother, our cousin. He passed away. And he's a Christian. He died. And I lived in a small parcel of land called Suckle Creek in our territory there, in Long Lac Reserve 58, First Nation there. We were there. And some of us grew up there. I remember when I was a kid, we never had any facilities. Like, we had no electricity, no running water. And I always say, do you guys have running water? Yes, we did. I was the running water. I ran to get water, you know. And we made fire. We had a pot belly stove, and we made fire. And when it went out, when I went to high school, we'd get up, my dad get up, and the pots were all frozen with ice. And if you'd believe this, I frostbit my ears in the house. I think I might have dreamt that, but it could be. I mean, it was so bad. I mean, it was bad. I this is how, you know, and I was telling these guys, we wanted, I had lovely parents. Don't misunderstand, my parents loved me. I love my parents. We went through a hard time. I tell the bad stuff sometimes so that I want to impact you to know that God will bring you out stuff. My parents were just the most beautiful persons ever, and they helped us. They did all what they could, what they had. And you know how kids are, they're mean to their parents. Right? They say different things, you know, when, especially in the trouble, and you give all your life to your kids. And the Bible says if you respect your parents, there's a promise with it. Here goes the promise again. Number one, everything's going to go right. You'll be successful in everything you do. That's found in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Another thing that he said, you'll live long, you'll have a long life on earth. God promises that if you respect your parents. So anyway, I grew up in this environment, and we never had very much. And I always suffered from, I could tell you other stuff, you understand my story. But I suffered greatly emotionally. I was put in a home. I was put under care. I went to homes. My aunt took me in for a while. I went to, you know, my brother and I, we were split up as family, all of us. That's why we're not as close like we should be, because we all went to different homes. And I went to a residential school here. My mom was a residential school survivor, too, out of a school over here west of us. I came out of that, and we had a terrible background. And I think about it, when God talked to me to come into ministry, it was just like he told Abraham. I feel like I'm rich. And the Bible says you're rich, fully supplied. I don't lack anything. I go to my closet. I don't lack anything. I got clothes coming out everywhere. In fact, I can wear these clothes now because I'm not as fat as I used to be. Not because I'm going, you know, starving. It's just that I want to lose some weight for health reasons. Some of you are going to have to lose, you're going to lose weight because of health reasons. Eat now, man. Eat all you can now. That chicken will bite your behind after. I mean, you know, so when God spoke to me about stuff, you know, I couldn't believe what he said to me. When he said, go into ministry. I just believe God. And go and do this and do that. And I couldn't believe it. And yet, you know, God's just starting to do something to impact this nation, this city. And we're everywhere. And people talk to us, tell us how much they enjoy. You know, for the first time and all the time, we've been on television for how long now? How many years? No. No, not 10. 2008. Figure that out. Come on, with your quick brain. 2008, we went on air, right? 15 years, this coming August. 15 years or 16 years, I can't remember. But anyway, I wouldn't have thought. When the Lord spoke this to me, I felt so responsible to find money every month to be on air. And so we went to work at the college so that we can work here, so we can pastor. So we worked double. We worked hard. I mean, tell you, we were going to Bible school, teaching Bible school. I'm up till 11 o'clock at night trying to finish my lesson for school at 8:30 in the morning. I go to 8:30 to 12:30. I come here at 12:30. Then I meet with my staff. Then I do the Spirit Alive. Then write articles. We do television. Then we go to Bible school. We go all like this, right? I'm getting tired, you know? And run. Plus, we do special meetings, conferences. Then I do things in the city, right? It gets busy after a while. Geraldton, we started a church in Geraldton. By the way, let me tell you something. This is so exciting. I'm on the board in Geraldton, and we had a meeting last week. We bought that building over in Geraldton, and we bought it. We're about to pay off that building, right? So like we have, I think, $50,000 left. So we're going to give $30,000. They're going to pay $20,000 to pay it all off. It's going to be bought and paid for. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. So you know, we like to see more stuff happen. I mean, we need to do more. I believe we need to do more. And that's just, you know, like Pastor Ken and I traveled to Geraldton for 5.5 years, every Thursday, rain, snow, shine, hockey games, whatever. We went. Our special games are on. No, we went. We were there. Why did God says to me, I want you to go there every week to show the people how much you believe in them and how much you love them. Never complain to them. Tell them how privileged you are to come and preach to them. Tell them. You were there, right? And tell them that don't ever complain to them that you have to be here. Tell them it's an honor to be here. Because remember the first time we did it, we traveled to Nipigon. We started work there. And I started traveling there every week as well. And talk about promises. So I went there, preached. And I remember after school, after one time, leaving here, and I'm leaving, driving off here, and I was complaining to God. I said, look, where's all those people that say they're going to help me? They said they're going to bring money. They said they're going to bring the guitar. They said they're going to come and sing. Nobody's coming. Where? Why am I doing this? The Lord said to me, did I tell you to do it? I said, yeah. Then he said, do you be quiet. Just go ahead and act like you're enjoying it. You know, I believe that if God brought you here, you need to enjoy it. I thought about my experience as a Christian when I first went to church, started going to church full time. For the first time in my life as an adult, I started going to a Pentecostal church in Kenora, Ontario, on my own. Here I had friends take me to church, and I started attending, but I went there. And then I loved going to church. I look back at it, it was a privilege to come to Wednesday night services. It was a privilege and honor to be there Sunday morning. And some of you need to think about that, because we're open here Wednesdays. We're here every Sunday. It's an honor to come here, to meet new people, to be with other people who sit around the Word of God. Praise God. But you know, we have to. It's 1 minute before 12 o'clock, and you know what that means. It means the Baptists are going to beat us to the best seats in the house. So I'd like the music team to come up. We're going to close and continue this. Continue this message if the Lord desires. And we'll see what happens. I think I got one third of the way at least, which is good. You got the point that God is a promise keeper. And if you groan a little bit, he'll come to you, right? Glory to God. Let's all stand up. Glory to God. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. What an honor and privilege to be a child of God. You've made promises to us. There are things that you promise in your word that you do. Your word is the promise you made to us. And so, Father, we endeavor to study the Word of God and find out what belongs to us. And even though things look so defeating, maybe things look so depressing and so hopeless, we're standing on your Word because you have a better way for us. You have a better plan than we ever dreamed about. And I think about something over there once. I was thinking about a building, and I was hoping I'd have some building, but it didn't work out. I was disappointed. But you had something better for me. And yet you have something better for us. This is a temporal, we're meeting in a temporary location in this auditorium that we have now. This is temporary. But there's another place that you have for us. And I see that in my spirit. I see that in my mind's eye. You give me a glimpse of that. And we're going to do what you said to do. And no matter what I think about it or what somebody else thinks about it, it's what you think about it. It's what you said. You said there's a better plan. You have a plan for us that's far beyond our imagination. It'll blow our minds up. The Bible says in Ephesians, you're able to do far exceeding, extraordinarily, beyond what we're able to pray about, ask about, even imagine or think about. You do far greater than that. And so, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we'll be those faithful ones to continue to stand and obey you, follow your plan, that you are a faithful God. You're a faithful God. And we're believing for every person here in the name of Jesus. We're believing for all our partners and friends. that support us. They send money. They're praying for us. They speak well of us. And we speak life over every one of them. We speak life, blessing and honor, and those who have given. We ask you to multiply as you said you would. You promised that. And so we're believing on it. We expect it. We expect to hear testimonies of how you brought them out of financial hardships and how you brought their loved ones home, how you've healed them and how they were dying. And we're going to pray for everybody here that's sick right now. We command the blessing of healing over you because it belongs to you. We command you to be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And every part of your body will work perfectly in harmony as God designed it. Anything lacking in your body, if you're lacking nutrients or any other deficiency in your body, we speak to be fully nourished in every part of your body. All your bones, marrows, be healed from every sickness, every disease. Backbones, liver conditions, blood conditions, joint problems, mental health issues, chemistry, come in line in the name of Jesus. Be happy, be whole in the name of Jesus. Your entire being in the name of Jesus. We call the blessings to come into your house. We call in from the north and the south and the west. Come on in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.